Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Aquanaut says, Jeff, do you ever sometimes take a break from places like Pole or Zero Hedge when the anxieties of the world are too much to bear? No, not at all. I don't experience anxiety at the world. I'm an anxious person. I can worry about things naturally. But the state of society and what I cover on this show, the things that are socially relevant and politics, do not affect my mood at all. I can worry about things in personal life, but I'm not a man who's worrying about it. That's why I'm both black-pilled, but I laugh at it because I don't care about what society does. So no, I don't need a break from the internet anytime, at any point. That is just how I live. I'm not affected by it all, and I can be fully black-pilled and yet very happy in my life. Sentient Potato had sent a super chat during the night. He says, Jeff, can you please explain the relationship of mathematics and music with respect to IQ? If someone has a high aptitude and understanding of music theory and application and is a good performer, can this be a substitute for mathematics when estimating IQ? Many musicians are disinterested in math but excel in music. Does this not use the same area of the brain and therefore can be used as a proxy for math? Thanks. Well, the first thing to note is that we don't really use a math IQ test. Sometimes in the classical studies, you might see some of those. But the modern way to test in a culture-independent manner and training-independent manner is the matrices, a test of IQ. And it's about placing... You see three different patterns. You guess what will be the fourth, or you guess what will be the third. So it's all about extrapolation from observable patterns. So there's not really, we don't really do, let's do these equations, and then I'm going to tell you your IQ. That being said, the general relationship between mathematical ability and musical ability to IQ is the same. It's that if you have reached a certain level of mathematics or a certain level of music, you're pretty likely, almost certain, to have a high IQ. And if we set the standard that high, you're going to have a high IQ if you get that high in music. Or that high, you're going to get an even higher IQ. But it's not because someone has zero ability, neither in music nor in math, that they don't have a high IQ. Because the fact is that getting into the culture of practicing a lot over years, whether it's math or music, not everyone will go through the process of being accomplished in this domain. And therefore, there are some people who are not captured. But if you were to say, I'm going to use musical ability as a test for IQ, your problem would be that there are some people who will know nothing about music and yet they'll be able to perform very well on a basic cognitive task like the Raven matrices. So generally, the known association between intelligence and musical training, you can see it in this article particularly, it's about 10%. If you take a population and some of them head toward many years of musical training, after the many years, they will distinguish themselves by having 10%, approximately 10% higher scores on a IQ test. Now, there's the problem of, some people interpret this as, oh, well, if we train everyone at music, we're gonna get higher IQs, and that's not what it is. Because the problem is, as you start practicing music, you're going to encounter difficulties. The fingers on the guitar, you're not gonna be able quite to get it. And if you pass through these difficulties and your brain is capable of producing good results, you're going to be self-rewarding. And it's going to keep you into the training process. Whereas if the difficulties are very hard to pass for you because you have a low IQ, you're never going to get through the years of training. It's going to be like, oh, 2 months, you're going to try, it's not going to work, you're going to give up. So the problem is music is a selector of high IQ people as to who keeps doing it and who attains those years of practices. So it is not a good measure for IQ, although it is related to IQ. That is my stance on music as a proxy for IQ. Go Away says, music is for sissy boys. The only sound I want to hear are the sound of my welding torch and my sending belt. Well, that is a quite brutal view of your position in the world as a male. But if that's how you feel, bro, live your life the way you want. That's fine. Stephen Robinson was asking to comment, for me to comment about these statistics. And I said, it's a little too long to say what I have to say on Twitter, so I'm going to wait for the show tonight. George Gammon was saying 20% of Gen Z identify as LGBT. If 20% of humans were born gay, humans would be extinct. No way birth rates would have been sufficient for survival. The Malthusian cult knows this. So you can see there's a massive, massive increase in how people identify as LGBT. And as Gen Z appears in red here, those born between 1997 and 2004, as they become adults in 2020, it is a massive segment of the population of Gen Z that identifies as LGBT. You have to be careful with this data first. There are a lot of women out there, all they want is to get fucked by a man, and yet they will answer, I identify as LGBT for social aspects. Gen Z is fully into this, you know, they've heard somewhere that, oh, there's such a thing as demi-boy, and that in fact the LGBT community includes 72 genders, one of which is defined as, I just like developing a romantic relationship before I have sex. That places you in the LGBT category, the LGBTQ category, by the standard of the new generation. So you have to be careful. A lot of people will say this, but they don't behave that way. They're not truly even bisexual. They can be sometimes bi-curious, especially the woman, you know, oh, maybe I'll try with a woman just to see. But they will go back to nature automatically. Now, as far as the George Gammon statement about it, if 20% of humans were born gay, humans would be extinct. It's not that easy. If 20% of humans would be born gay on a given generation, these 20% of humans would be extinct, but the 80% that's left would have the world for themselves, and then the next generation of people would not be gay. And they would not be gay at 20%, they would be gay at a much lower rate. So there's always a backlash with evolution. The problem of what George Gammon says here is that it's a species-based evolution, which does not exist as demonstrated by Richard Dawkins in The Selfish Gene. You can have any segment of the population that doesn't reproduce. What matters for evolution is those that do. So the reason there are lots of people identifying as LGBT is a mix today of the fact that homosexual preferences have not been filtered out by evolution yet because they haven't had the chance to be in a fully homosexual dedicated relationship that truly produces zero baby. Any person who may have been attracted to homosexual preferences 100 years ago would still have had some shots at reproducing. So that's one of the first reasons. We are in the generation for for the first time, we are in a generation where homosexuals, they live their lives in full as homosexual, and they end up having truly zero babies, which will reduce the number of homosexuals in the future. The second reason is what I've already mentioned. This Gen Z generation isn't truly LGBT. They will just tell you they are. It's a big lie. We have this woman who is a people. She's so unclear about her statements that people are debating what it actually means. Let's listen to what she has to say.
I think like the biggest thing that like annoys me in like the whole dating world is like fucking talking stages. Like that shit's so annoying. Like the whole like, and just like the inconsistency in them. Like I literally like hate that like so much. But I think that's like my biggest thing. It's just like.
What specifically?
Just like the fact of just like you like, I don't know how to word this. Like in like talking stages. And
how many times can she say like?
It's just like you're like labeled that, and it's like people like are considered like you can't like, you're just like confused, and like most of the time like the girl gets like attached or something, and they like see it like it's gonna lead to a relationship, and it's always not. And it's just like, that's like my biggest thing is like I just hate the whole like how like talking stages are so like normalized. Like traditional dating does not exist in this generation. I think like the biggest.
Some people, yeah, she has beautiful boobs, but some people are wondering, does she mean, because it's Women's History Month, and so we have to start caring about understanding women and what is it that they're trying to say. Some people think that she's saying she doesn't like the talking stages of the relationship, because she would like to be straight to marriage and monogamy and intense baby making. That is I don't think that's what she's saying. But there are some people who say this in the Twitter discussion, the Twitter thread. I believe that what she's saying is she doesn't like the talking stage of the relationship because she quickly wants to get to the fuck me and then drop me stage. John Drake says no chance, and DK Shadow says I wish. I think she wants to get to the accomplished state of the relationship, but I think that for her the accomplished state of the relationship is the moment where they have sex and then the guy drops her, because she's saying about they're expecting woman to feel attached, but it's not going to happen. So I think that what she's saying is, I want to get to the sex because I won't get attached ever. So let's get moving. And she's basically annoyed that the guys are trying to lengthen the whole thing and spend a lot of time talking.
I think like the biggest thing that like annoys me in like the whole dating world is like fucking talking stages. Like that shit's so annoying. Like the whole like, and just like the inconsistency in them. Like I literally like hate that like so much. But I think that's like my biggest thing. It's just like
what specifically?
Just like the fact of just like you like, I don't know how to word this, like in like talking stages, and it's just like you're like labeled that, and it's like people like are considered like you can't like, you're just like confused, and like most of the time like the girl gets like attached or something, and they like see it like it's gonna lead to a relationship, and it's always not.
So she's talking about the girl getting attached, but she says it's really always not. It's not going to happen. It seems that's what she's saying, but there's so many like. I mean, this is a generation that's totally addicted to likes on Instagram, and it's becoming impossible to understand what they're even saying among the likes. So I titled today AI Modified Woman, because in this History Month of women, we are celebrating women and their potential improvement in the future. And one avenue for improving women would be AI-assisted modifications to either their physique or their behavior. You could imagine a little earphone that they could have, a Wi-Fi earphone that would come from ChatGPT, and it could change their behaviors and the way they, it could give them counsel as to what to say at the right time. But this, I didn't know was going on. A AI filter that comes with Snapchat, and it totally live. It modifies your face to make you look beautiful and with makeup and everything. Look at this woman. She looks with a nice, she seems to have a nice face. Now look at the modification. It goes live in the video, and then she's going to remove it, and we're going to see her real face.
I can't believe this is a filter. The fact that this is what filters have evolved into is actually crazy to me. I grew up with the dog filter on Snapchat, and now this filter gave me lip fillers. This is what I look like.
This is her real face. I mean, the lips are totally normal, you know, not overblown. You know, there's something ugly with the disposition of her jowls here or whatever that's called. Her eyes are not as beautiful as the filter would make them out to be. Look at the difference here. Almost perfect face, glowing makeup effect, glowing makeup here, red right here. And then the normal face, and the eyes are extremely contrasted with eyelash makeup right here. The lips are like changed in a super plumpy manner, and compare this with the reality. I've been having fun myself with these filters because I wanted to see. I'm still not a professional. I'm still not as good as her because apparently there are hundreds of filters. I just installed Snapchat and I recorded a video just to see if it would modify my face. I did that before the show. Look at the, well, here I have a picture. So it seems that the filter was kind of shy at modifying my face, but it still tried, you know, giving me this kind of Asian look, maybe over a little bit of makeup. It kind of flattened my, the texture of my skin. It's amazing that the AI decides to change certain things, but not other things. Like, I have this balance between my right eye and the left eye. I have, I guess, what they could call a droopy eye, although it's not really the eye, it's the skin around. So the AI didn't modify my disbalance between the two eyes, but somehow he just tried to beautify, put some makeup here, a little bit more red here. I think he may have modified my lips a little bit. It looks kind of feminine. And I recorded a video with a different, because there were hundreds, I had to choose one. So I've chosen the kind of Japanese makeup beauty one. And look at what it led to. Oh my God. Let's rewatch it because it was fast. It gives me a kind of powerful eyes. I think it increased a little bit the contrast here. Based Saxon says these are clearly designed for women. Definitely. So of course, I think that the AI is a little more shy on the modification when you're a man. I think it's intrinsic to the demand for these AIs. So I've been looking at comparisons between. So apparently this is what it looks like. This is how heavy it can modify you. You can take this picture and we'll make this with it. There's a good article here. Look at this. This is a massive change. I mean, even the guy has been modified. This is a massive change with even new hair and stuff. Looks like a Barbie, almost Barbie effect. This one was from Kim Kardashian, apparently. Was it? Khloe Kardashian. Khloe Kardashian modifying hair. This one looks pretty similar. And there are video, there are ones that we can review in video. Here you can see a little redo of the side of the face. And here, this is shocking. I mean, she's showing the side of her face with a mirror, and the AI will only modify her real face and will leave the mirror unaffected. The complete disappearance of the acne here. We'll review some of the videos. Here is a split face view. Completely made up here, whereas the reality is a little more rough. The lips are accentuated. The color of the eye is downplayed. And so the video ones, we can have a look at this. Has science gone too far? Someone asks. Maybe. Here's one example. I mean, you can see it's a massive effect. Although we don't get to see what our face looks like without it, you can imagine. Let's walk away. Sorry for the noise. Sorry for the ear rape that I have caused. Here's another one where we can compare the... Unbelievable. Wow, that is shocking. And so there will be a whole industry of deception, and you have to be careful, because back in my days, when you were having the video call with the woman, if you were meeting a woman on the internet, the video call was the moment where you would get the truth. But at this point, the photo can be modified, the video can be modified, the live interaction on Snapchat can be modified. What is left for us? Well, just the reality, the meeting with the person. John Drake says, I seen a deep fake of Biden and Putin today. This stuff is becoming indistinguishable from reality. Absolutely. DK Shadow says, really no different from AI art. This is AI art effectively. Exactly. In the same way, makeup is painting. Makeup was the painting being translated to the woman's face, and filters are becoming the AI generation of art live as it is filmed. There's a bizarre guy at the airport. You don't want to create a scene at the airport like this. You're going to get in trouble. What the fuck is he doing?
Everybody turn their video on.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody come take my hand, this world together. All through the storm. Everybody come take my hand, this world will rock together. Through the rain. But I'm a creep. Let's bring a little Detroit to town. A little bit of Radiohead. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Dirty fucking cop right there. Go ahead, pull your gun and put a bullet through my head! I'm not afraid to take a... Why don't you guys have body cameras? Call King County DEA, the head chief. He's the one that's going to track all those sexual girls that were trafficked right there on that plane that are going to club. You want me to name the club?
It's some QAnon concern that there were sexual girls on the plane that were trafficked. I love how this QAnon adjacent crowd has become, they see human trafficking everywhere. Schizopilled, says James. Yes, very interesting. Well, anyways, I hope that they have solved this problem. Someone says, Go Away has sent me a YouTube video of Joe Biden, but I can't verify. Maybe it's AI generated. I'm not interested at receiving links during the show if you don't describe what it's about. Have you ever seen a cormorant eat a largemouth bass?
Say hello to your friendly neighborhood cormorant, a diving bird that catches huge fish, like this massive largemouth bass. But can it swallow this beast of a fish? I don't think so. A bird has got to eat, so let's try this again. You might as well just let that go. What? No. How is this possible? Okay. Smile for the camera. I stand corrected.
Wow, their entire neck must expand to just welcome the full fish. Well, that is what happens when you forget to evolve, you know, the whole teeth and jaw to be able to chew your food. You have to just swallow it whole, a little bit like a crocodile. And birds aren't so far from the crocodile. U.S. Intel agency belatedly debunked years of fake news over Havana syndrome. Yet another major instance of a story which grabbed headlines for years and was widely linked to Russian intelligence entering the dustbin of history. A joint U.S. intelligence community assessment now says that Havana syndrome was not caused by a foreign adversary. So it was the whole idea of certain diplomats starting to feel bad, starting to feel nausea and going to the hospital, and sometimes official U.S. agents. And the theory was around that this was some kind of targeted waves attack, maybe microwave. They're dismissing it, but they're just saying there's no evidence that it was caused by a foreign adversary. But I don't know. Is absence of evidence of absence? It seems that if they were good enough, you wouldn't ever guess. You wouldn't ever get to know that it happened. So I'm not sure if I want to side with the government story on this. But in any case, they say it's not an adversary that does this. That's what they believe at this point. If you would like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey Super Chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show. Make sure you add a payment method if you would like to see this button on your Odyssey account. Go Away has sent $3. Thank you so much. He says, if science could prove that 20% of humans have gay genes that are only expressed phenotypically in certain environments, would we have scientific justification to culturally mold the environment to prevent this phenotypic expression in order to maintain the human race? Well, it's never about the human race. The human race doesn't need to be maintained. The human race is maintained by the fact that each people is genetically invested into modifying, into surviving, in reproducing themselves. That's the word I was looking for. So, no, you don't need to have a collective action to maintain the human race. If 20% of humans had gay genes that are triggered in certain phenotypic environments, either they would meet those phenotypic environments, in which case the genes would disappear, they wouldn't have babies, or they would not meet this environment, in which case these genes would continue surviving under the radar in the population, while not making people gay, until we meet that environment. And whenever that environment is met, the genes would disappear and they could come back only if the environment is eventually changed. But I think it's pretty much what we have with current society. I think current society is making people today gay that wouldn't have been fully gay in 100 years ago. So it's only a matter of time before the genes will be exposed to the pressures of natural selection. And either we will find environments that don't cause gayness, or the genes will go away that cause gayness. It's the end result is always the same. The end result is all of the people surviving across generations, all of the genes surviving, they push toward more baby making in the future, no matter through which gene environment combination you want to see it as. Go away, says JF. My concern is that I have latent gay genes that will lead my kids to have non-reproductive lifestyles in certain environments, and I want to work to avoid these environments so that my kids reproduce. You can, you know, this is why I'm so annoyed when people of our community are writing to me and saying, Jeff, I shouldn't reproduce because I have this disease or that. And I'm like, whatever it is that you have, it gets shaken at 50% out of your descent for every baby you make. Whatever gene you have that you think is not good, throw the dice, and if it's 1, 2, 3, it passes. If it's 4, 5, 6, it doesn't pass. And every time you have a baby, you're throwing the die or you're flipping the coin. 50% chance that it doesn't pass in a given baby. So no matter how bad you think you may be, never forget that certainly there's 50% good in you. Certainly there is some good stuff there in that genome. I mean, you made it 4 billion years. So certainly there's something not bad with your genome. And whatever it is, the defect you might think you have, it probably boils down to a very, very small percentage of your genome, which will disappear in half of your children. Speaker's Corner says, already deselected. Do I think that the current gay genes are under oppression by current society? Well, if you consider gays being pushed toward the marriage lifestyle, it's a recent thing in history. So I would say take gay marriage and calculate 60 years after gay marriage, and that's where you would start seeing an evolutionary effect, if there's any. Callum Oxworth says, would you go back in time and tell your parents not to conceive you? Well, I certainly wouldn't. But that's a good point to tell the people who are telling me, JF, I shouldn't reproduce. Everyone is happy to live. So your children will be happy to live. Zelensky floats a strategic pullback from Bakhmut after pouring in huge amount of reserve forces. Alexander Rodnyansky, the Ukrainian army, has not yet pulled out of the city, but Kiev may soon decide the cost of holding Bakhmut outweighs the benefits. Well, I think we're already there. If they're saying this publicly, it's probably because it's going to happen for sure. Dead Star sends $1. Thank you so much. He says, yesterday you opined on the limitations of a man beholden to female social desires. Obviously, evolution gave us a man without those limitations. Maybe there are more positives than we are aware of. Definitely, I think that the male cognition, which ignores those female demands on social conformism, is exactly why males are capable of advancing things in fields that women are incapable of. There's a reason why, provocative thinking is done by male, and it's always been done by males, and from just provocative scientific ideas to provocative comedic ideas, women have been simply incapable of accomplishing 1% of what males accomplished in those fields. So certainly there is a function for this male mind. And our society, unfortunately, may be a historical first, hard to know, but it may be a historical first that our society has suddenly become hostile to this very much needed contribution of males to the public discourse. If males cannot contribute their true cognitive way of doing things in the public space, then there is no more public space. Then it's just a bunch of Instagram filters. That, you know, there's the Instagram filter that changes your face, or the Snapchat filter. But there's the Snapchat filter that is the Snapchat filter of social taboos, which keeps subjects from being touched upon, and which makes the whole enterprise of even having a public discussion completely useless. Go away, says Jeff. Do you think Brett Weinstein would be more willing to engage with you and your ideas if he didn't host a show with his wife? Ah, that is an interesting question. That is an interesting question. Because, you know, Stephen Robinson was annoying Heather on Twitter. And Heather told him, stop talking to me about this book. She said something along those lines of, stop talking to me about this book, which is unrelated to my work. My work. As for my husband, Brett Weinstein. And so I don't remember what she said then, but it was clear that the extrapolation that you could do from what she said is, stop annoying me with the revolutionary phenotype. It's not related to my work. My work, Heather, higher. As for my husband, so what I extrapolated from her tweet, although it was basically just a fuck you to Stephen Robinson that she meant to say, is the revolutionary phenotype is related to Brett Weinstein's work. And even his wife agrees. Oh! And because I tweeted something about their 21st century book, and I said, hey, there's a statement in there that we don't have yet a proper theory, basically a proper understanding of mimetics and its relationship with the selfish gene. And basically that is the revolutionary phenotype. And yet in the 21st century book that they published, they say that doesn't exist. And I published The Revolutionary Phenotype 3 or 4 years before their book. And so, but then you have to ask the question, is the 21st century book they published really a co-authored book? Is it because there's both name on the cover, Brett Weinstein and Heather Heyer? If this is truly a co-authored book, then I'm sorry, but Heather's statement to Stephen Robinson is false. The revolutionary phenotype does provide something that this book says doesn't exist. It does provide the theory that they were looking for, and that they say, we haven't attained an understanding of that yet. It's very interesting that all of this questioning in my head ultimately stems from Stephen Robinson being annoying to Heather Heyer. Because we have two interesting claims here from Heather. One, that she considers her field is independent of the revolutionary phenotype. But what is Heather's field? She does write books alongside Brett Weinstein that say that this theory doesn't exist. That would seem like it's her field, but then you could ask, are each chapters of this book written more by Brett or more by Heather? And ultimately, this denial that my theory exists in their book, is it more due to Brett? Is that what we must extract from what Heather said on Twitter? That ultimately this error in the 21st century hunter-gatherer's guide to the 21st century, whatever is the title, ultimately this error is fully owned by Brett. Because she said, my field is not related to the revolutionary phenotype. And she then said, as for Brett, that's another thing. So I conclude for sure that Heather Heyer believes that Brett should read the revolutionary phenotype. Isn't that something good? I mean, when you write a book and your own wife is like, you should read it. It's in your field and... At this point, it's time you read The Revolutionary Phenotype, Brett. I find it amazing that ultimately Stephen Robinson caused all of this. But this happened actually a week ago, but I didn't comment on it. But it's been veering in my mind. It's been, yeah, that's what she said. She said basically that Brett, as an obligation, as an expert of the field about which the revolutionary phenotype makes an advancement, he has a responsibility to read it. But she won't read it, or it will take more time for her. Stephen Robinson says, Jeff, you would not be accusing Brett of being a cuckold, would you? No, not cuckoldry, but a form of intellectual... The revolutionary phenotype is kind of placing itself between me and Brett Weinstein and Heather Heyer in a bizarre, weird triangle of interest here, in which my book has successfully drawn the eyes and the capacity for attraction in Heather. And she now believes that Brett should read it. That's my conclusion from her statement. You do have to extrapolate a lot from her statement, but I don't see how we don't get there. Why would she have divided so intently the distinction between her and Brett? Where I am not obligated to read this book because it's not in my field. Brett? We don't know. I hate having with these two. It's been twice with these two that I have to extract every possible interpretation from their non-statements. It's like, can't you just say things straight? No, they can't. It's always. Well, as for me, I will say this. As for Brett, I won't exactly say this. But I'll say that. Now, how the heck are we supposed to have communication happening on the public space with this kind of crap? And Brett pulled the same thing with, well, you're lying when you say I plagiarized you. And it's like, okay, but I said you plagiarized like 12 people. And it's like... Well, you are defaming me with a lie currently because I didn't plagiarize you. And I'm like, okay, I can delete the video. I'm going to create another video in which I accuse you of plagiarizing 11 other people instead of 12. And then I publish the second video and it's like, I think you know you're wrong. But I won't say why. What the? Are these people scientists for real? What the fuck? these people are teaching stuff. Aquanote says, okay, it's not like they make interesting contributions. Yeah, at the same point, you have a point. It's like, I should care about them to the extent that eventually they suggest some advance into any field. We're not there. Wasp TV says, I agree, he's definitely in the crosshair talking to Crazy Catman, who was talking about TRS getting banned by Elon. Yes, very disappointing how Elon is going back to the first censorship that it all started with, which is it starts with censoring hate. And then it's, oh, well, what defines hate? Well, not the hate of the mainstream media that Elon Musk has identified against white people. They can stay on Twitter. A particular form of hate will be pursued by Elon Musk, just like in 2016, 17, they started going after us. James says the levels of work involved for them to spend 4 hours of time reading is becoming quite absurd. Yes. In fact, I designed this book so that it's readable in 5 minutes. You know, if you really want just the takeaway messages, you just read the paragraphs that are indented in, like this. If there's a space here, you have to read it. You can ignore the rest. You can ignore the paragraphs that are larger, which is like 95% of the book. You can leave it on the side. It's JF poetry. It's JF taking the reader by the hand. If you really want to understand the theory of phenotypic revolution, it's 5 minutes. You switch page, you identify the indented paragraph, you read it. Wasp TV says, it's not what defines hate, it's who defines it. Very well said, indeed. That's what it's all about. Motomom reports this excavator and trailer were stolen from us this morning in Parkland County, Alberta. For those of you that don't know me, they were my dad's, and my dad died a year ago. Please, please share my post. Please see the serial number in additional tweet added. Oh my God, an Alberta case of theft. Very annoying. That's not what we expect in Canada. It's a pretty bold thing to be stealing this. I don't see how we're not going to be able to find this guy because... Bro, you cannot go around town with this. It's going to have some specific marks on it. In fact, there was this serial number right here. TB135. So if you ever see this in Alberta or anywhere else, it's been stolen. We must recover it for the Motomom. Deadstar sends a link. He says, if you haven't seen Danny Mullen raid and troll Evergreen College, where Brett taught, it's worth a watch. Raiding the most liberal college in America. Well, raid? Is it a military raid? What are they going to do? Capitalism sucks.
So we're in a Marxist history class at UC Berkeley, and we made a little satirical video just trying to have some fun, but I'd say it has a political message, and it's serious at the end of the day. It's a quasi-pseudo-religion we came up
with. First commandment!
I hear if he's laughing. I think this is a little leaked audio from Bernie Sanders. Next, we want to do a little unvaccinated killer video.
The star of the unvaccinated, that is a joke I've been wanting to make so many times. You have no idea. Like, but because of who I am, I can't even make that joke. That's just how bad it is. Like, okay, I guess these guys are comedians and they can pull that joke of a yellow star for the unvaccinated, which shows a it's such a great joke because it shows the tension between two major leftist pillars, which is the Holocaust and, you know, the oppression of the Jews in Germany, and the fact that currently in society, if there's someone oppressing you, it's very much likely that it's a leftist, whether it's through the COVID paranoia or taxation, it's leftists that are oppressing people and that are oppressing, in the case of COVID, the unvaccinated. So it's such a beautiful joke to make. I'm happy that he's out there making it. But, you know, if I make that joke, people are going to go fucking insane. They're going to just... I wouldn't make that joke on Twitter. I could get banned. That's the problem. Somehow people haven't understood the depth of my comedy, but I take it as a medal of honor, because it just shows that I'm just better at straight face than most comedians. Go away, says JF. In Australia, gangs steal trucks and machinery and sell it to mines who use them without needing to register or drive them on public roads. Yeah, if you steal, I guess, for the metal weight, I guess you can get it melted pretty quick. But in Canada, my friend, everyone knows everyone. I would expect that we will find who stole this. I hope. Mikronova says, it is crazy to think there are some things JF can say and he could be arrested by Canadian police, where in the USA it would have no police consequences. Yeah, it is scary. Scary that we have reached this point. 9 people, 6 first responders exposed to mystery drug in Syracuse. Apparently, in a residential apartment or something like this, there were 3 individuals. 2 of them died in the room where they were manipulating this drug. The 3rd of them was completely insane. He had been driven insane by the drug, but wasn't fully killed by the drug. So the emergency personnel arrives. They got the 3rd guy who hadn't died, and they bring him to the hospital. But then they start realizing that the emergency people were starting to feel bad, and nausea and everything. So they were kind of intoxicated by just the touching of small quantities of that drug. And eventually the emergency personnel got to the hospital, and the nurse just touching the emergency personnel started feeling bad. And so she's considered, even the nurse at the hospital was intoxicated by whatever drug that is. They say it's a mystery for now. They believe it could be xylazine, which would be a substance used to cut fentanyl, to mix in with fentanyl. And the overdose symptoms of xylazine are similar to those of fentanyl. Heart rate increase, nausea, and eventually death. People have been evacuated from the floor of the building so that they wouldn't be, so that some research can be done about what this substance is before they can clean it up. Wasp TV sends a super chat. Thank you so much. He says, I appealed to Twitter about my ban claiming a misperception of my statement was made by the reviewer based possibly on preconceptions of my race. As a white male, you can verbatim repeat a person and get banned. Exactly. That's what's so scary about this double standard. It's that you will repeat exactly another tweet that can exist on the platform as long as it's stated by a black person or a Jewish person, and you do it, you're in trouble. That is so scandalous. I hope that you get your appeal passed. Personally, at the end, my last appeal that ended up working, although I don't know if it's what I wrote that made it work, my last appeal of Twitter, I said, and I repeated the appeal every week. And the last time I said, I will use my account wisely. And they just unbanned me. So you might want to try this. Mikronova sends 10 bucks. He says, thanks for the stream. Thank you so much to you. Go Away says, sounds like another case of Havana syndrome type hysteria. I see no evidence that this event is anything more than a conspiracy theory. Well, okay, but it seems that the nurse was feeling bad, and it seems that the emergency personnel were feeling bad. You might not believe them. Ultimately, why not? We can question everything, you know? I don't believe you. I don't believe you. Oh, JF, you say that you know this. I don't believe you. You say that you feel this. I don't believe you. You're going to isolate yourself, go away into a world of your own. You won't believe anything else than your own existence. You're going to be like Descartes. Brief Historian sends a super chat. Thank you so much. He says, the other day you mentioned being a Marxist when you were young. This is a well-known phenomenon, especially among high IQ people. Left-wing teenage mindset, then very right-wing. F.A. Hayek and Thomas Sowell are two notable examples. It was my trajectory as well. Why do you think that happens? I think that there's two things here. There's a setting of the human brain that is radicalism. And radicalism is the setting by which when you will adhere to certain principles, no matter what they are, you will take them to the full extent. Like your brain is like iterating through things. And so a highly radical person, if you tell them, you know what matters, Jeff, is the well-being of conscious creatures. A radical mind like mine will go, okay, so if you had a society in which you have infinite amounts of cocaine and it does create a pleasurable experiment to be pushing the button to get more cocaine injected into your bloodstream, you would want that society to happen to the extent that the cocaine doesn't kill you. You would have this kind of Goldilocks zone in which just enough cocaine not to kill you, but enough cocaine to maximize happiness. That is the kind of brain that pushes political principles to their extreme. And I did the same with my scientific work. This is the selfish gene taken to the extreme. Now, you need a special kind of brain to do these things, and I believe that the people you described, Thomas Sowell, you know, highly principled person who will not take just the face value of the principle, but he's going to dig and dig and ultimately declare taxation is theft or that kind of stuff. So that is a specific kind of brain. Now you can put that radical brain onto two software programs of sorts, although I don't like the software comparison, but you can give it two nutrients. You give that radical brain the nutrient of Marxist thought. And because of the blind spot, basically Marxist thinking exploits a blind spot. It's that you take in as a preconception that you are entitled to things. You take in as a preconception that there is something that must be distributed equally and that any distribution outside of this is unjust. If you don't apply your radical brain to this, but you take this as an axiomatic presupposition, you're going to become an extreme teenage Marxist, revolted at every aspect of society because it's unfair. And that's what probably happened to you, me, and Thomas, and the people you were mentioning. Now, it doesn't take much for this radical brain. As you evolve into adulthood, you have a general, you re-examine those Marxist presuppositions. You start saying, well, what is unfair? What is unfairness? What is entitlement? And ultimately, you see also all of the parasitic structure of the world, and you're like, what would be needed in terms of a mind set to combat this parasitism. And then it's super easy for your radical brain that had revolted against every aspect of society based on your axiomatic presupposition. Poop. You put that radical brain into a new program, which is right-wing thought, and which is, okay, we have to develop a world that is sustainable. This world must be self-directing because humans suck, and they will always suck at trying to manage the world into a direction. And there's parasitism that can stem everywhere, anywhere. Anyway, if you do create a world of social engineering. So suddenly this radical brain, the same brain that was able to espouse Marxism, becomes fully like a fish in the water thinking about conservatism. Basically, I'm still the same guy who was yelling at my father, telling him that his capitalist system is unjust and that we should destroy money and give what people need. It's the very same JF, but on a different set of realizations and assumptions. In fact, I would say I have less assumptions. You don't need much aggressive presuppositions to be adopting the conservative mindset. You don't need much at all. Rollo Tomasi says, a curse of the IIQ. Adolescents with an IQ of 130 were 3 to 5 times less likely to have had intercourse than those with average IQ. Boys with an IQ that would qualify for intellectual disability, 60, were still more likely to have had sex than those with a very high IQ. Wow. It does change your view of what a disability is. The 60 IQ are more successful at getting a shot at pregnancy than the 130 IQ. Isn't that fascinating? So should we declare 130 IQ is a disability? It seems like it is evolutionarily. Rest in peace, boys. Civilization is over, says James. Yes. Deers have been observed alongside the river in East Palestine, where they have been burning this vinyl chloride. No trace of bite, no trace of guns or arrows, no injuries. It looks like these deers may have just died from the contamination of the environment or the water they drink.
3 dead deer here, right next to Little Beaver Creek, which runs directly from East Palestine, Ohio.
So very sad. This kind of environmental destruction does have consequences for the life forms that are living there. Stephen Robinson sent me this article, Bras Make Breasts Sag, 15-year study concludes, that was in 2013, wearing a bra does more harm than good, it does nothing to reduce back pain, and weakens the muscles that hold up the breast, resulting in greater breast sagging. Jean-Denis Rouillon, a sports science expert from the University of Besançon, France, reported after a 15-year study. Rouillon says that the main conclusion from the preliminary results of his marathon experiment is that the bra is a false necessity. I don't know if it's a joke. It seems so stereotypical. Like, okay, it's the French researcher and he's done a marathon experiment. He's been testing the breast. But whether it's a joke or a real scientific study, I think they could be correct. I think they could be correct. I don't see why. Generally in life, when you supplement something, that things become less talented at doing what it's supposed to do. So if you support breasts, breasts don't need to support themselves. That is how it works. If you were to make an addition to my leg that gives me more power when running, my muscles would retract. They would become less big because they would realize that my body would realize we don't need those muscles anymore. We got the exoskeleton powering our own jogging and walking. So in general, when you try to fix something in life, it gets worse. That's a big problem with, you know, ongoing medication. You take medication that initially may have a benefit, but eventually your body makes the adjustment and you now need more of that medication. And now you take more, now you have more side effects. What else did we have in the news before we conclude? Ukraine says that fighters are holding their ground in Bakhmut, but at a heavy cost. What is the point? What is the point of being there receiving artillery fire 24/7 by the Russian side? At this point, it's a war of attrition between Ukrainian humans and whether Russia will ever run out of artillery. Of artillery rounds, and I don't think they will run out. Like, I think that you should stop sending humans there, Zelensky. Bring them back, regroup, be more humane in your military strategy. Get married, stay married, and be fruitful and multiply is the tagline for this new Texas bill, HB 2889. So it's about property tax, so the tax that you pay when you own a land or house. If you are in a marriage, 10% tax reduction. If you have two kids, 40% tax reduction. If you have 10 kids, 100% tax reduction. I like it. It's a very good basis if you want to keep, if you want to incentivizing the population baby making. Why not? I think it makes total sense. I prefer this to child support checks by the government, because at least it's the government saying we will stop our aggression against you if you do this. So it's a first way to opt out, and perhaps we will have... The big problem is, who are you going to incentivize? The problem is, the white family will probably not go to the extent of having 10 babies just for saving the property tax. Perhaps there will be other demographics that are willing to go the extent of the 9th and the 10th baby, and you're going to potentially favor the wrong demographics. You will potentially favor the instability of the demographic curve of the U.S. That's a problem. Breaking, Trudeau Foundation announces that it will be returning donation from China after the story in Globe and Mail. So the Globe and Mail had seen that China was giving to the Trudeau Foundation in Canada, and there's ethical concerns. Now, I don't think that China is a particular concern. I would be concerned that Trudeau as a foundation receiving from so many people inside Canada. That might be a way to buy him and to buy his favors. The fact that China would do that is just one more player in the game. I hate it when they obsessed about China. The same thing with TikTok, you know? Oh, TikTok, China is dangerous. Let's ban TikTok. Well, every single social media does the exact same thing as TikTok. They gather information about people. They stack this information in a way that would eventually turn against them. So if you're that much worried about China doing these things, Why aren't you at least equally worried that there's a bunch of strong corporate powers in America doing the exact same thing? Woody Harrelson doubles down, slams COVID mandates. The US is not a free country. Well, I'm glad that he's doubling down, of course. And yes, the US is not a free country. We have the medical fascism. We have the state-based kidnapping of children. We have the kidnapping of children from males in family court. We have all sorts of intimidation that will be thrown at you for various political beliefs. We have also private censorship. Definitely the US is not free. What else do we have? Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot will lose re-election bid CNN projects as crime concerns grow. Amazing. You know, I don't like this woman. I think she's a terrible illustration of what happens in a city that just goes down into this loop of leftism and not applying the law and basically turning your place into a sewer of America. At the criminal level, at the corruption level, at so many levels. Like, everything is bad in Chicago. But apparently, even I didn't think that the leftists at some point would reach the bottom. I think they would always vote for this until it becomes unsustainable. But no, apparently she lost her re-election bid. Like, at some point, you're going to have to apply some kind of law. It's still America. I mean, whoever is her successor probably isn't going to be able to pull Chicago out of the shit that it is living in. But a change can only help. So, all right, they're going to give it a try, I guess. Aquanote says, JF Zero Hedge has a nice collection of horrible things that Lightfoot has done in a single article. Abominable politician guilty of so much racism toward Western people. Yes, I know that there were some bizarre pushes also during the COVID stuff I remember from her. What an annoying person. Yeah, there's this Gateway Pundit article that was sent by Deadstar. I had read those news. There's a claim running around that the Arizona Senate House elections presenter claims that Sinaloa cartel uses bribes, money laundering, election fraud to control elected officials and traffic drugs, humans, ballots in Arizona. I have seen those claims arise. I haven't looked into the details of them, but it does look like there is some kind of embeddedness between the political class on the Democrat side and a bunch of very dirty criminal players. I don't know much more than this, but it's what I took away from my quick look at these. Now, how do we solve this? My understanding is that the Republicans are not in power. It's the politicians that are in power that do this. So how do we solve this? I have no clue. If the politicians are the corrupted entities, there won't be laws to go after them, you know? At least 38 killed as trains collide in Greece. Another instance of these devastating events happening with our infrastructure, with our transportation. In Greece here, I mean, I say har. I don't consider myself part of Greece, but har in the sense of across humanity. Greece. 38 killed in this collision between two trains. What is happening with our infrastructure? Micronova sends $10. He says, I predict in 2040s that China will attempt to manifest destiny, settle Antarctica, and claim the continent and the natural resources. I've been wanting to establish in Antarctica. I've been told that the Western powers have actually their chop of Antarctica that they're already claiming. And I've been told it would be hard for me to just go there because apparently there are flags planted already for various sections of it. But yeah, I mean, you own a thing to the extent that you're willing to defend it. And I would be totally happy if China did that. And I do hope that Antarctica, especially if the planet becomes warmer, I do hope that Antarctica offers an opportunity for a new world. I do hope that something like the birth of America happens in Antarctica and will have the advantage of this can happen without any sort of genocide, any sort of pushing away people who are already there. That would be quite an event of self-selection. Like, if you take everyone who's liberty-minded in the world, who say, I want to be in that new world, I'm willing to face the archness of the nature there because I hate human that much, that would be a beautiful place. We would have 200 years of civilizational rise in whatever that thing becomes, Antarctica. Absolutely. I'm dreaming, but that is something I've been thinking about for a long time. John Drake says, JF, did you see San Francisco wants to give $5 million to each black resident? If they did, the city budget would have to be doubled. Yeah, we've heard about this for, it's been a long time that they're talking about this. It's like, this is not sustainable. You want to drain, you're already draining your productive class super harshly to the point where I don't understand why they still want to live there. How can you think you can make profit in such a place? They will chop off your profit from you in a dozen different ways. But so it's already impressive that there's any form of economic activity left in those leftist places. If you do that on top of it, well, you will become the center of attraction for people who want to receive checks from the government to live. That is it for tonight, boys. Much love, and I will see you all tomorrow. What do I have on the calendar? I think we don't have anything. Let me check. oh, yeah, next week, the 8th. Mark Collett has a special 200 episode, I think, of PWR. So he's going to have all sorts of big guests coming in 10, 15-minute slot, each of them. So I'll be there. I'll be there on the Mark Collett show between 7 and 11 p.m. London time. And that will be great. Other than this, we're going to keep going with the solo shows. I'm still reading that book that Jan told me to read in a super chat. I'm still not done, but if I can finish that book, that would be nice. We could get a review of this. And by the way, there's a movie. What is it? IMDb. What is this movie I watched? My God, I forgot the movie. Infinity Pool. It's a 2023 movie. It's kind of interesting. It's not a superb movie. I think IMDb rates it at 6.1 out of 10. I think it's a fair rating. 6.1 out of 10. But in terms of a mindfuck movie, you know, where is this science fiction or am I in a dream? Or am I in a dream happening in a science fiction? Or am I in a science fiction happening in a dream? It's very interesting. And the woman in this is totally evil. It's totally evil, this woman. Well, watch it if you'd like. For once, I will not spoil it. Just watch it if you'd like. Dead Star says, exactly, the sickness is so rigged in that they will, that we will never be able to stomach the medicine. Shamrock Shake says, Jeff, what is the title of your book, The Revolutionary Phenotype? The link is in the description below. book.jfg.world if you want the book on Amazon. The title is The Revolutionary Phenotype, The Amazing Story of How Life Begins and How It Ends. Aquanaut says, remember that time when all movie recommendations to JF began with, it's exactly like TRP? That was annoying. Bye-bye.